It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Lockwood.
Lockwood.
And my question now is, with beautiful weather, does anything change in law? Is it just a...
No.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year to you, Lockwood.
Thanks very much.
Welcome to 2015.
20 days. Yeah, wow.
Lockwood, absolutely. There are always changes. Never a dull moment in the law, just like everywhere else in life, maybe. Who knows? Look, Lockwood... We want to talk about a pretty significant change that I think a lot of our listeners don't know about, which is the increase in jurisdictional limits in the small claims court. You know, when I first started practicing law, the magistrate court, the small claims court, you know, all this was really was a little bit of a landlord-tenant court.
With small numbers.
Very small. I mean, as I recall, maybe even $1,500, $2,000,
right.
Mm-hmm. Back when I started practicing law. It now, and Wes is going to go into more detail here in a moment, but it now, Lockwood, has increased to $10,000. $10,000 of jurisdictional limit in the small claims court. And of course, you know, this is a very good thing for a lot of people. Because they can get their smaller cases started and sometimes even resolved in this court.
I'm sitting here a little stunned by that number,
yeah.
10,000. I mean, I know we've had inflation, but wow, that's kind of an odd form of inflation in the courtroom.
Right. Well, I think the General Assembly was concerned about how the higher courts were becoming saturated with caseload. And I think that had something to do with them trying to ratchet that limit up so the smaller cases, you know, could be handled outside of the district court or the superior court, maybe get resolved there at that magistrate court level. Because really, Lockwood, you know, when we compare the different levels of court in, we're talking about state North Carolina court, we're talking about civil disputes. It could be a breach of contract, a negligence case, it could be a trespass. It could be a civil assault. It could be anything. The different levels are, you know, of course, we start with small claims court, which is magistrate court, same thing. Then district court is the next highest level, and then superior court is the highest level of the state trial court. And in order to get to the trial setting in a district court or a superior court, it's probably going to be for district court, maybe at least 8 months or so.
Wow.
Absolutely. And then for superior court, it's probably going to be well over a year to get there because of the caseload and because of the discovery that needs to take place before you normally get to the trial setting. Now, contrast that to magistrate court. You can normally get to your hearing before the magistrate within 2 or 3 weeks after it being filed, because it's just really an expedited process where there's not depositions taken, there's not a lot of discovery done. We go to court and we just put it all out there before the magistrate, and the magistrate makes the decision.
But
so,
when you're talking numbers greater than $2,000, I'm just going to do as a random low,
okay,
to a high of $10,000, you're talking about a significant amount of money, and is there any difference in evidence that's needed at a magistrate court?
Well, what I'm seeing is that there's just different types of cases that the magistrates are now hearing. You know, typically when you would go to magistrate court, which, you know, we're not there all the time, but periodically we would go to magistrate court to deal with issues for our clients when the jurisdictional limit was lower. And I would say most of the folks in there are not represented by an attorney because it's kind of the people's court.
Right.
You know, it's the Judge Judy court. It's that type situation. So most of the time the litigants are not represented by counsel. And historically, the issues that have been dealt with before the magistrate have been like landlord-tenant disputes, summary ejectment, like someone's not paying their rent, but they won't get out, you know, that type of thing, won't get out of the property. that type of thing. Sometimes breach of contract on, you know, real small amounts, because the jurisdictional limit was just 5,000, then it went up to, you know, double to 10. Those type of issues. You know, now I'm seeing some issues that are a little more complicated than your typical, you know, paper kind of cases, yeah, like a breach of contract. So I think that that's where it's changing. And I think that, you know, these hearings are lasting much longer, too, because, you know, I'm hearing from the magistrates that they're wanting to give a larger block of time to get their hearing load done in any particular day, as opposed to, you know, if they had five cases when the jurisdictional limit was less than $5,000, then it might take them, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours to do those. Now they want, you know, 4 hours or so. So there's just more, I don't think more from evidentiary standpoint, other than the fact that the type of cases do dictate that there's more to consider for the magistrate.
All right. We're talking with Wes Collins, you were just hearing a moment ago, and Cecil Harvell. We're talking about the issue of small claims court. You bring up a good point on that, and this is the fact that because now we're talking about bigger numbers, Cecil, you were saying when you started it was $1,500.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that we've had inflation, but when you bring up that number $5,000 to $10,000, we're talking not that $1,500 is really real money. Real money and significant impact. That could be a business, for example.
Well, collections, you know,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right. That's mm-hmm. significant. Right. By the way, very quickly, I want to remind folks, if they want to call in, they're welcome to do so for a question or observation from Cecil Harvell or Wes Collins, 252 area code 247-7282, 910 area code 353-4674, and that toll-free number, 800-818-2255. You just alluded mm-hmm. to something. Now, with these higher numbers, is there a possibility, I asked that question related to evidence, that there's going to be a greater probability for legal representation in small claims court, where historically it was just Lockwood showing up with some paperwork in my hand?
Well, that could be the case, as it always has been, in terms of the fact that some folks just simply feel more comfortable and, right, and really do want strong representation.
Mm-hmm. There's more to lose.
Well, yeah.
So. Lockwood, that begs a question, kind of a human dynamic question, which is at play here. You know, there's a lot of writings, if you will, about conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, of course, now that the limitation is $10,000, you know, conflicts in general, these are general rules, but in general can escalate very quickly at kind of the organic level. And people then take their side to the right, to the left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get a resolution. They can't really talk with one another. They don't want to talk to one another. And so fundamentally there is now a conflict, okay? What this jurisdictional limit will now do is put these people in an environment where they have to talk, okay, with a magistrate kind of in the middle, in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of conflicts at that point are going to find resolution, particularly at this level, you know, of $10,000 versus $100,000.
Right, right, right.
People are in an environment now where they must communicate. There is somewhat of an arbitrator there. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, by the way. But the bottom line is that it puts people back in an environment where they have to communicate. And then there is, as we know, a statistical strong probability that there might be some resolution at that point. An awful lot of cases, Lockwood, even at the superior court level, which Wes is in every day, you know, are resolved through settlement. Let's just face it. I mean, there is always a good chance of settlement in most every case. Some more so than others, of course, but this is kind of a good thing that's at play. Now, what we want to talk about now is once there is a resolution, once there's a judgment, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in the small claims court, in the magistrate court, what does that mean?
Right.
This is important that we talk about what that means.
All right, we'll come up to that in just a moment after this quick commercial break with Harvell and Collins. Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell in the studio this morning. And by the way, if you've got a question, and this applies to the vast majority of the audience out there, the issue of small claims court, 252 area code 247-7282, 353-4674, 9910 area code of our listening audience, and the toll-free number 800-818-2255. We're talking with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell, and the numbers, and it looks like we may have a caller coming in here shortly. 252 area code 247-7282, 910 area code 353-4674, 800-818-2255. Small claims court is the topic this morning, and with that said, $10,000 is the new limit, which is, as I said earlier, a stunning announcement, simply because now we're talking... we're talking serious money,
right?
Not that $1,500, even $100 isn't serious money,
right?
But and we've got a caller standing by. You were going to say something very quickly.
Well, I was just going to talk about that. You know, small claims court is somewhat of a free pass too. I mean, you can go to court, try to get your judgment or defend against the case, and then in the event it doesn't go your way, then you have a right
you
to an appeal within 10 days for a brand new trial. The whole thing starts over. So. That's called a trial de novo. So that's always been the case.
Okay.
So sometimes the better wisdom is to go ahead and proceed without an attorney to small claims court, see what happens, and then in the event it doesn't go your way, then contact legal counsel. Sometimes that's not so much a good idea.
Okay.
I mean, it kind of depends on what the circumstances are.
All right. And then before we get to Marianne in Pine Hill Shores, the presentation in the small claims court, the evidence presented, the activities that take place, is that admissible in the next level for appeal?
No, you start over.
Okay, that's
you
the term
fresh.
De novo. That's the term de novo.
That's right.
Okay. All right, we've got a caller standing by, Marianne in Pine Hill Shores. Marianne, good morning, and of course Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins standing by. Yes, ma'am.
My question is, somewhere in the back of my mind, I think I've read that a magistrate is not necessarily a lawyer, a true educated lawyer.
That is correct. That is correct. We were just talking about that off the air. Mm-hmm. We do in Carteret County have my recollection that we have one of our magistrates who is an actual attorney. It may be two. But certainly we do have some magistrates who are not attorneys, and that kind of goes back to this de novo right. Now, we understand that these people are trained, they receive continuing education, so they understand these issues that they deal with to a certain extent, but they're not attorneys. Not all of them are attorneys. They're not required to be attorneys. It's one of the reasons why you do have this free pass to appeal from that decision and then go to the next level in the event that there's a mistake made.
But that's within 10 days. That's
within
specific.
10 days.
Okay.
You have to give your notice of appeal within 10 days, and you also have to pay the court cost, which is a little less than $100. It's my recollection that that's what it is for the next level, which is an appeal to district court.
Marianne, any other questions?
Well, yes, and would there be somebody there to help you work through that, or do you have to call a lawyer right away and get help to get the appeal done?
You would have to have a lawyer, Marianne. I mean, there's not really anyone there to help you. I mean, the clerks of courts and the assistant clerks of courts will do what they can to maybe guide you, but kind of at your own risk, if you will, because keep in mind, the clerks of court and assistant clerks of courts are not lawyers either. So I don't really think that one could go so far as to say that there's any help along the way. Do you think so, Wes?
Well, there's a document that you file for the appeal, so
right.
You don't have to prepare your own document. It's a AOC form.
Right.
And you can certainly, without an attorney, fill out that form and pay the amount the clerk tells you to pay, and as long as you do that within the 10 days, and there aren't any mistakes on that form, then you probably are okay.
You heard the caveat, any mistakes on that form.
Right? And within 10 days. I mean, that then is, you know, 10 days sounds so simple. Well, but do you count Saturdays and Sundays? Do you count holidays? I mean, we just had a holiday yesterday. Yeah. So, I mean, 10 days is it's the law, Lockwood.
Yeah.
It's never simple.
Yeah.
Marianne, thank you for your good questions.
Thanks very much, Marianne. Appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And I just want to make mention of this fact. If you're interested in more information, and, of course, the program brought to you by Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, the right advice at the right time. Again, this is a stunning observation on their part. 726-9050 is their phone number, 252 area code, 726-9050. Yeah, we're talking real money,
right.
$6,000-$8,000.
Right. So what happens after the appeal? And you got to take into consideration, you know, you could go to court as a defendant and win, but what do you think the plaintiff is going to do?
Appeal.
Appeal.
We'll come right back with that answer in just a moment. What about the appeal? I have a feeling that this is going to take a little bit more than just one program this morning here on Coastal Daybreak. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here in the studio. And that number, 726-9050. That's a 252 area code, 726-9050. The right advice at the right time. And the website, harvellandcollins.com. Stay with us.
The law is increasingly complex, and the growing staff of Harvell and Collins stands ready to untangle your legal challenges. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, along with associates Russell Alexander and Andrew Foster, practicing in all areas of civil practice, including estate planning, elder law and asset protection, representation of the elderly, collections and foreclosures, corporate and business, and also civil trial practice in these and all other civil matters. Call to arrange your free initial consultation at 252-726-905. Plus, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins answer your questions live each Tuesday morning at 7:30 on Let's Talk Legal. Tune into Coastal Daybreak Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on the talk station and call in with your legal questions.
I've got a property issue in the sense that I've got some pretty tall pine trees, and they're inside my fenced area, but my neighbor wants to cut down the trees, concerned that trees are going to fall over and damage a building that he's built. Can he do that?
If it's your question, it's important to Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.
Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. It's Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins every Tuesday morning at this time. And we've got about 2.5-3 minutes to finish up with just one aspect of this. $10,000 is the maximum amount of the ceiling for small claims.
Jurisdictional.
Yeah, yep. Wes Collins is and Cecil Harvell joining us. Wes, you were talking about the appeal
right,
process.
Right, the appeal process. You get a free trial there before the small claims court. Again, sometimes you're better off to have, you know, an attorney there for you, depending on the circumstances of the case. As a side note, you know, usually before the small claims court or any court, if you're a corporation or an LLC, you really can't represent yourself. You have to have legal counsel for that. There's a specific case on that. We can talk about that
really?
You know, later. But
okay, if you're collecting a bill?
Yes. You're not allowed to go to court as an individual representing an LLC or a corporation without legal counsel. There's a specific case on point about that.
Whoa.
All right, because then that's kind of the practice of law. I mean, who are you representing here? Okay. That's really what the case says.
The more reason why I'm listening to the program. Continue. I apologize.
Right. So then upon the appeal, what happens next? Well, the cases from small claims court are almost always selected for arbitration at that point in time.
Okay.
So we're appealing from small claims court up to the next level, which is district court. Okay, but before you get to district court, the cases, again, are almost always selected for arbitration. An arbitrator is selected. That is an attorney. Okay, there's a list in each county of maybe 10 or less arbitrators who hear cases. And then that is scheduled for an arbitration, and then the litigants come before the arbitrator and put on their evidence, very similar to small claims court, and the arbitrator then makes a decision. So yet we have another layer of an attempt to put on our evidence and to have a hearing.
This is initiated as a result of the appeal.
That is correct.
Okay, so I'm appealing to district court, but I'm not. I'm appealing really to the next level, which is arbitration.
Well, that is, yeah, you go to arbitration before you would get to the district court level. So then you have the hearing before the arbitrator makes a decision, and yet again there's another right to appeal.
Wow.
For a new case, de novo, for a new trial, de novo, we start all over. The law on that is that any of the evidence in the magistrate court, small claims court, any of the evidence in the arbitration is irrelevant for purposes of the district court proceeding. So you can't consider any of that. You just basically start new. So then when we get to district court, things get more serious. Okay? The rules of evidence do apply strictly. Now, they do apply with the small claims court and with the arbitration, but they're more of a guide because, you know, we can't hold non-attorneys to the strict letter of the law with regard to the rules of evidence. Now, the burdens of proof, you still have to prove your case, you know, in small claims court or in arbitration. But then when you get to district court, it's a more serious formal process and procedure. And then when the court finally makes a decision in district court, there's a right to appeal there, but that goes to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, which only reviews what the district court did. You have no further right to put on further evidence or anything like that. So that is the trail you could end up on if you start in small claims court.
Well,
most of them don't.
Well,
but
I understand.
Some do.
I understand, but when you're talking numbers of this nature, that's interesting. All right. I've got a feeling there's going to be more conversation because the whole procedure of how to initiate small claims and things of this nature.
We'll talk about it next week.
All right. Harvell and Collins, and I want to thank Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins for enlightening me for sure. If you want to find out more, if you're looking for representation, I just want to commend to you 726-9050, Harvell and Collins.
Thank you, Lockwood.